are listening to the Big Guy Fantasy Sports Podcast Network. Welcome to the Nasty Cast.
Welcome to episode 122 of the Nasty Cast Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by Dots Pretzels. I am Nathan Dock, and you can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dockin. And I'm joined today, of course, by Manly Van Lee. What's up, Van?
Hello. Thank you for having me, as if you weren't going to have me, but I'm excited to be here.
I thought about
it.
As
if I wouldn't be excited to be here. So, yes, I do have a request for our fans. If any listeners out there listen to this episode, would you let us know if I was better or worse than normal? Because I've eaten a lot of Dots pretzels, and I'm curious to see if there's a correlation between that improving or detracting from my awful speaking.
I can only hope that we have a cavalcade of tweets and emails about your performance tonight. And speaking of Dots pretzels, I got to ship some out to our other host today, Ron Rigney. What's up, Ron?
What's up? Hey, yeah, I need to get those because we're going to see if Van is using them as a performance-enhancing drug to boost his performance. Hey, real quick, I wanted to throw out, I don't know if you guys are aware, today is the 45th anniversary of the Doc Ellis LSD no-hitter.
Yes.
And nice. So if you check me out at The Real Made on Twitter, I shared a really cool animated 4-minute mini documentary about the LSD no-hitter. It's definitely worth the 4 minutes to watch. It's awesome, so check it out.
Very nice. I'm going to do that. And also, before we get going, I want to throw this out there. With Game of Thrones coming up, Van and I cannot hardly contain our excitement, and we're going to do a BS bonus episode as like a season preview and just talk about a bunch of random crap and fun stuff. So if you're a Thrones fan and you have questions that you want us to address on the show, or comments, or anything Thrones-related, there's a lot of you fans out there, just tweet at us. And you can do that by reaching us at NastyCastBGFS on Twitter. Van is at Manly Van Lee, and as Ron just said, he is at The Real Made, M-A-D-A-Y. I'm very much looking forward to that. Probably won't be for a couple weeks, since the season doesn't start until July 16th, so we'll probably hold off on that a little bit. But by the way, I forgot to tell you guys, too, I'm going to do my top 10 Game of Thrones episodes, my favorite episodes. I'm going to put that in the man cave portion of Big Guy Fantasy Sports.
Very nice. That's a good choice. If you hadn't decided to do that, I would do it. But you've kind of ruined that for me.
Well, we could combine our lists and, you know.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Crap on each other's picks.
Do you think your guys' list would be very similar?
You know, I don't know. Nathan and I, it's no secret that we don't live near each other. So I like to think I know Nathan, but I don't know. I don't know his show tastes. We just discussed The Walking Dead and how we have different opinions on that. So I don't know. That's a curious question there, Ron.
Well, I think we can all appreciate the glory that is Sean Connery as, what, Zoltan or whatever that was?
Zardoz.
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 Isn't Zoltan the machine from Big?
I think it is.
I think it is, yeah.
It's okay. It also sounds like the big head from Power Rangers. That was Zarbo or something like that.
Could be.
Was he wearing Zubas?
If only.
He should have been. On today's show, we have some news for you, some call-ups. We're going to play Legit or Quit. And we're going to do some BABIP-based sell highs and buy lows with hitters. And, of course, we're going to talk about prospects as usual. And the prospects on the docket for today will be Sean Newcomb, Dustin Don't Call Me Dexter Fowler, Bo Bichette, and Walker Buehler. And streamers, of course, we're going to round out the show with that. And it's been a pretty quiet week as far as bullpens are concerned, so we're going to kind of skip over that this week. But it's going to be a pretty hitter-heavy episode. But it should be a blast. Switching it up a little bit. Check out the BigGuyFantasySports.com, of course, for all our written work. And you can find links to the BG Baseball Podcast and Consistency Cast. And, of course, you can pre-order Bob Long's 2017 Fantasy Football Consistency Guide. So go out and do that. And, of course, we will love you forever if you give us a rate and review on iTunes or wherever you listen to the show. And if you want some free Dots pretzels, hey, that's a good way to do it. And then get a hold of us and let us know that you dropped us a positive review, of course. And if you don't do that, we will kill a kitten. Puppy got it last week.
I'm going to flush a goldfish.
He'll do it. He's just crazy enough to do it, folks.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me.
You know what? I'm going to swallow a goldfish. So, yeah, one-upsmanship right there.
My God. What have you people done out there? Leave us a review. Well, speaking of horrifying events, Edinson Volquez threw a no-hitter this past week. So, Van, we'll start with you. Has your outlook for him changed this season?
Nope. It's still Edinson Volquez. He still doesn't strike out a whole lot of hitters. And even after his game, he still has an almost 4 ERA. So I don't expect that to change. I think at the end of the season, you're going to see exactly what most people would expect from Edinson Volquez, which is innings. And that's about it. So no, thank you. I have no interest in it. It was neat and absurd because the Diamondbacks are a lot better hitting team than that. But that's no thanks.
I think that, too, kind of feeds into my conspiracy theory about, you know, we talk in football about teams traveling across the country and it affects them. So I'm wondering if that feeds into that a little bit as well. But, no, I'm the same way. He ranks about the 70th starting pitcher, the fourth most walks in the National League, that 57-33 strikeout-to-walk ratio. Nothing appealing about that. The only thing I might use him in is if you're in an NL-only league, if you need somebody, or as a streamer, maybe in a certain matchup, because he has had a few solid starts, but he's not gone over six innings, I don't believe, in any starts. So I'm going to leave him on the waiver wire. I'm going to let everybody chase him, because I was looking his numbers up today, and I noticed in Yahoo his ownership is up like 7.5% last week. So the buzz has definitely gotten a hold of a few people, but I'm definitely staying away, just as I was before.
Yeah, agreed all around. I believe he came into the game leading the league in losses, and I don't have too much else to say I agree with you guys. No interest in Volquez, but perhaps there will be some more interest in Jacob Faria, who is pitching right now as we record this podcast. He got the call for the Rays. So, Ron, why don't you tell us what you think about the Jacob Faria?
Well, I like him. I mean, I like the numbers, but at the same time, I think it's just it's a matter of it being a spot start. I don't think that he's going to be up for any extended time. I read a couple places today where when Matt Andrews comes off the DL, he's going to probably get sent back down. But, we keep talking about the Rays every week, and they're fortunate enough that they have all these pitchers that if they need a guy for a spot start, a fifth starter, they have a treasure trove of guys to pick from. So I think they're purposely kind of leaving our guy Brent Honeywell down for a little bit longer. But if you can grab him in a dynasty, if he's still out there, I think he's definitely worth grabbing because, you know, as we've talked about before, the Rays are really one of the best as far as developing pitching. But the main thing concerning him, I was pissed because he's not on the FanDuel slate tonight, and I really wanted to use him against the White Sox, who were terrible against righties, and he wasn't on there. So I was a little aggravated by that, but that's neither here nor there. But yearly, I don't know if you really want to grab him, but the numbers look good. 84 Ks and 58 and two-thirds. That's nice numbers. So I look for him to have a good start tonight, but I don't think that no matter what he does tonight, I don't think he's going to stick because they want to get injuries back in there.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, there's some stuff to like about Faria, but he's also not one of your elite top-tier guys. I don't think he's going to come up and turn into Noah Syndergaard, even if he had a job. But he's a solid mid-rotation piece when he starts throwing the innings. So, again, Dynasty League, grab a hold of him. Redraft League, I don't know. It's going to take even more injuries for him to get a longer look. And even that said, who knows if he would get that longer look because we've discussed the raised depth. So there's some interesting pieces there, and he'll certainly was a solid pick in DFS tonight, but I think that's about the extent of it for this year.
I actually traded him. Well, actually, no, I'm starting him tonight, but it's funny that I traded him. He is right now in the pending transactions in the prestigious Dynasty Baseball League. And of course, as with Shelley, and neither one of us actually knew that he was going to be called up. It was like the second that I clicked accept on the trade because I dealt him for, and this is Dynasty League, obviously, for those who don't know about the prestigious Dynasty Baseball League. And if you don't, then shame on you. But I traded him to get Brad Brock, because I'm just looking for some saves. And Faria, you know, the strikeouts are really nice, and if he ever harnesses that control, then he could be really, really good. But I'm afraid that that might never come to pass, and he might be a reliever. He still believes just like a two-pitch guy. So I think he's more of a long-term piece. I don't think I'm going to get too excited for him in single-season formats. But let's move on. Pretty late week of news, so we're going to just move on to legit or quit, if that pleases the jury?
Works for me.
I love it.
Very good. We're going to start with a guy that, Ron, you mentioned last week, Whit Merrifield. And so we're going to talk about him a little bit more because he has continued to be intriguing. And through 161 plate appearances this year, he is slashing 299, 350, 490 with 6 homers and 6 steals. So, Van, what do you think about Merrifield?
I still think he's a bit of a flash in the pan. He doesn't walk a whole lot. I don't know. I just can't get behind it. I think the contact rate is really high right now. His light contact's at 15%, medium contact at 50%, hard contact at 35%. I don't think that's sustainable for a little guy like this. So I think he kind of regresses to the mean. The average comes down, and if the average comes down, the OBP comes down, which isn't that high to begin with. And, of course, I don't think the power's for real. So I think he's a nice little piece to have on your team right now and an okay utility player. And, in fact, I saw an article that said, is he more than a utility player? I don't think so. I still think he's just a solid utility player, and that's the extent of it for me. So I'm going to give him a quit label.
I'm going to give him a legit label for a few reasons. And I don't expect, like Van said, I don't expect the numbers to stick where they're at. But at the same time, he still is only 39% owned. You could probably go get him right now in a lot of leagues. I like the second base and outfield eligibility. One of the things I don't like is he's got the fifth worst offense in the league around him as far as batting average. So he's not getting any help from those around him. He's a little bit older of a I don't know if you call him a rookie, but I guess I want to say a little bit older of a less seasoned player. He's 28, but I don't think that it's going to stay where it is. But I, you know, if you can get him, and use that multi-position eligibility to your advantage, that's one of the things I like the most about him. He does have a 19 game history going, so that's not bad. But I also think he sounds like a 70s game show host.
I was just gonna say, like, his name is awesome.
Yeah, I like to say his name, so that's one of the reasons I like him. But I think he's legit, but not as legit as he's showing right now. But I think he can still be a pretty useful piece for the majority of the year.
Too legit to whit. Which I don't even know what that means, but I believe they call that a pun. I guess overall, I'm kind of in between because I like him, but his value is a bit capped. The 190 ISO right now, you know, like Van, you mentioned, I think that power is over his head. 36% hard contact, but he's not pulling the ball a lot, not hitting a ton of fly balls. So, yeah, I think the power will slow down quite a bit, but he can be pretty useful in steals leagues. You look at 28 steals in the minor leagues last year. Yeah, it doesn't strike out a lot, should get on base at a fair clip, and he's been leading off from time to time. They've kind of been bouncing him around that lineup. And like you said, too, Ron, it's a pretty crappy lineup. But so whatever that is, somewhere between legit or quit, we'll just call it wit. Legit wit or quit. That's our game today. So let's move on to our next guy then, as we are all pretty apart on the Merrifield. So we're going to have to monitor his value moving forward, see who ends up being right on that one. But Justin Verlander, 70 innings pitched this year, a lot greater than 70. Or 7. He's 4-4 with a 4.63 ERA. I traded for him in the podcast league. That has not worked out very well at all. So, Ron, what do you think moving forward, legit or quit for Justin Verlander?
I quit. I quit before the big year that he had last year, and I'm always a big proponent of, especially in dynasty formats, if you have a guy that you think is kind of due for that regression, you get rid of him a year early before, you know, being a year late on it, and that's kind of what I did with Justin Verlander in one league, and kind of glad I did that. You know, obviously he had a great year last year, but I just don't see – I see him kind of being on the downside of what he's doing. You know, he's only he's only got like 9 more strikeouts than Edison Volquez. And you don't think of those guys kind of being similar in that category. The whip is high, 4.63 ERA, like you said, is high. So I'm quitting. I'm not a fan. Haven't been a fan for a few years. I mean, he's had a great career, but it's just a case of, I think he's just on that downside, that downslope of pretty solid career.
I'm actually going to take the opposite from you again, Ron, because I'm going to give him a legit, although it's a tempered legit, because I was almost disgusted with what he was doing last year. Just didn't make any sense. Like, no pitcher has really fallen off that hard and then come back and been that good without a reason, without an injury behind it. And I don't necessarily think there was an injury behind his. However, if you look at his numbers last year, first half of the season, he had an ERA over 4. It was not good. And then the second half of the season, he had an ERA under 2. So if he follows that same trajectory, which he's doing this year, he should have a really good second half. Now, do I think he throws 110 innings of 2 ERA ball? Probably not. But I think he can do 3 ERA ball. And so going forward, I think there's something to expect. So maybe he doesn't do what he did last year, but I do think he improves based on this year and kind of touches a little bit of what he does last year. And maybe that's just what he is. If we see that again, maybe he's a slow starter, but we'll see. I'm going to give him a buy though.
Well, maybe I can trade him to you in the podcast league then, Van, because I'm on Ron's side on this one. I just don't like anything that I'm seeing. And you mentioned, I think, before last season, he had dealt with some abdominal issues, I believe, some stomach issues for a couple of years. So as far as if you're looking for an injury, I think there was a bit of one there, although that was sort of conjecture. I don't know if it was ever really proven. But I feel like when he was healthy last year, that led in part to his resurgence. And I don't necessarily know that he's not healthy right now, although I guess he did. He is dealing with a groin injury as we speak, but I mean, like as on this, on the whole of the season, basically, I don't think he's been dealing with anything nagging. I think it's just sort of a downturn in stuff, as far as I can find. I mean, there's nothing that's really sticking out. His velocity is okay. I think his stuff has just been worse all around, and he's walking more guys. And I think this might just be old age setting in. So I'm not too optimistic on him moving forward, so I'm going to give him the quit. Perhaps we have a different scenario with the Ariel Miranda. He has tossed 67 and a third innings pitch so far this year. He is 6-2 with a 3.74 ERA. So, Van, are you more optimistic on Miranda?
Optimistic, sure, but I think, as is always the case with these things, you have to kind of temper your expectations and think about what you're getting here. I mean, you're not getting Justin Verlander of old with Ariel Miranda. You're getting Ariel Miranda, a guy whose FIP and ex-FIP peg him at 4.29 and 4.67. So he's not going to be an elite ace to carry your team to the postseason, but he can get you some innings. And I think for the price you paid for him, you're not going to be hurt by it. And strikeouts are a little bit up. So if he continues that, there's potential to keep that 3.7 ERA because people are hitting the ball less. So I'm not that excited about him, but I'll give him a legit based on what he's doing.
I was not legit on him until I kind of dug a little deeper with his numbers, and they're trending in the right direction. So I'm going to give him the legit label, but it's, you know, like Van said earlier, I like that phrase that he used, that tempered legit, because it's not, you're not expecting ace type numbers. But if you look at what he's done recently, 4 of his last 6 starts, 8 or more strikeouts, he's been way better at home than on the road. Home ERA of 2.02. Road ERA 5.68, so 8 home runs allowed at home in 31.2 innings. So I don't think that if you're fortunate enough that you can start him just at home until he can figure it out on the road, I think it's definitely going to help. Another thing that almost made me give him that not legit label is because he has 2 girl names as well. That was a little bit of a downer for me as far as a pitcher. But I do want to point out also that I did – it was one of my more successful DFS – prediction days, because I did in my Fantistics article for Sunday point him out as a pitcher to go with against the Rays, because the Rays strike out a million times a game against everybody, and it ended up working out. So gotta throw that plug in there.
It's a lot of strikeouts against a girl.
Yeah, I know. See,
I honestly, in my head when I say that name, I try to I have to constantly think, don't use she. It's a heat.
Right.
But, I think tempered legit is what I'm going to go with here as well. He has...
It's the pretzels, by the way, that came up with that phrase, so you're welcome.
Okay. Well, we owe everything to Dutz Pretzels, that's for sure. You know, one of my long-time, lifelong friends I was hanging out with last weekend, and he had never had a Dutz Pretzel before, and, of course, I brought some bags to the old party, because that's what I do. I'm like the pretzel man now. And he's like, whoa, it's just a pretzel, isn't it? I don't love pretzels. And then he stuffed a couple in his mouth, and he literally said, oh, my God.
I was the same way. Exact same scenario, story. I'm like, oh, pretzels? Who cares about pretzels? Scuff, scuff, scuff. And then you eat it, and it's the best thing you've ever tasted.
People just don't get it, man.
Indeed. Cheers to Dutz.
Cheers to Dutz. And cheers to Ariel Miranda, who decided to use his changeup less this year and his splitter more, and that has really worked out for him. That's led to a lot of his strikeouts. He's got a 21% whiff rate on that splitter so far. And so that's why I'm a bit more optimistic going forward. And, you know, like you said, Ron, you got to watch out for those splits a little bit. So he's not matchup proof by any means. And apparently you'd rather play him on the road quite a bit. So, you know, kind of mix and match with him. And I think you'll be pleased owning him. And if you've owned Jeff Hoffman to this point, you've been pleased as well. He is 3-0 with a 2.61 ERA over his first 20 and two-thirds innings pitched. Some mighty fine numbers there, Ron. What do you think of Hoffman?
I like him. I wrote about him a few weeks ago in the on deck circle on BGFS, and so far with when he's been brought up, he's actually seemed to look a little bit better at the major league level than he did in AAA. The one thing I want to see more of him do, though, is I want to see some more starts at Coors. I think he's only had one start at Coors, and it was kind of middle of the road. He had a lot of strikeouts, but I think he allowed like three earned in five or six innings. So I want to see a bigger sample size from him at home, but he's been awesome on the road. He's only walked two guys in 20 in a two-thirds innings. So the thing I wonder about this, and we'll get your guys' take on this as well, do you think that some of these guys like Jeff Hoffman, that their AAA numbers aren't that great, and they come up to the majors, and they tend to look a little better. Do you ever think that those guys maybe get bored at AAA and they kind of are thinking about that next level and that affects them a little bit?
I think bored or just not putting out full effort. Why hurt yourself in AAA? If you're Jeff Hoffman and you have enough of a pedigree that you're going to get called up eventually, then why go 100% all the time? Work on your stuff, get your work in, do your innings, but maybe don't go exceptionally above and beyond. And then they get to the majors and they do a little better. Now, what I'll say
so maybe
is
kind of like a spring training kind of scenario.
Sure. Very similar to that. But what I will say to that is that you can't bank on that. So if you've got a guy who's doing okay in AAA and you think, oh man, he looks like he's not really putting it into it, and then he comes up to the majors and gets shelled, you can't really think on that. There's something to it, but it's not something you can base going forward with it.
Yeah, and you have to take into account, especially if you're just box score scouting, I mean, you need to take into account the minor league affiliates with these guys, like the Rockies. If you just look at Jeff Hoffman's, you know, minor league numbers, they're, you know, their stadiums are
best.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and their pitching environments are gross. They're terrible, you know, and it varies wildly throughout the minor leagues. Like if you look at, you know, just like the Rockies pitchers, if you look at all the Brewers pitchers as well, you know, at their AAA affiliate, that's just a launching pad. And so their numbers all look like garbage. It actually ruins careers. You know, like Jorge Lopez, he was on track 2 years ago to – he looked like a solid starter for the Brewers moving forward, and he got to AAA and just got roasted. So that's part of it too is, you know, obviously Colorado in the majors isn't any great place to pitch either, but, you know, you do have to take that into account in the minor leagues as well. But you like him too, Van, like a mixed league option moving forward?
I do, absolutely. He's got a big fastball. He's really had good command of his secondary stuff. He doesn't have a whole lot of pitches, but what he has, he's done well with. I don't think he's this good, but I think he's good, and I like him. And I think Ron kind of touched on saying we'd like to see him at Coors a little more. I think that's also kind of what we have to do when we have pitchers who are at Coors. Even if they're an elite pitcher, maybe don't start him at home all the time. Yeah, it's half their game, so that sucks. But if you're going to micromanage your team well enough, and I think in this day and age that's really important to do to an extent, that's a real good way to do it. Maybe draft your Coors pitchers, but don't pitch them at home. So I think there's a little to that. I think he's ultimately going to be pretty good. And I've been singing his name to that Soundgarden song, Spoon Man, all week. And it's been annoying anyone who's been around me. And I do that for anyone who has the surname of Man at the end, but Hoffman fits very well.
Well, there's a lot of those. A lot of mans. What about sons? Like Johnson?
Johnson. That's like a Nordic thing. Like, okay, van fact time.
Sweet. So
in Iceland, the way you're named, your last name, your surname, is based on your parents. If you're a guy, like, for example, my dad's name was David, so I would be Van Davidson. But if you were a girl, my mom's name is Cindy, I would be first name, whatever, girl name, Cindy's daughter. That's how they actually have their names in Iceland.
Wow.
Interesting.
That's a fun van fact.
I'm blown away.
You're welcome. It's the pretzels, I'm telling you.
I'm speechless. I'm without speech.
So your child will eventually be a van son?
Indeed. So what would your name be, Nathan? Ron?
Ron's son?
Williamson? Yeah.
Williamson, that's interesting. That would work. So wait, your dad's name is Ron too, Ron?
Yes, I am Ronald J. Rigney the II.
Nice. Yes. Are you going to continue that tradition?
No.
By the way,
no,
I'm
sir.
If I seem checked out for the rest of the podcast, it's because I'm stealing your identity right now that I have your full name. Sorry about
that.
You're not going to get very, very far, my man. So I'm not too worried.
I'm going to call your cable provider, and I'm going to shut off your cable. Looks like you're behind, Ron.
Excellent.
Yeah, Hoffman, I'm with you guys. I'm not starting him at home yet. He's got a ways to go before he earns my trust like that. I feel pretty good starting him on the road, though. But if you look at his ground ball rate right now, 25%. That's a lot of fly balls in Coors Field, and that is definitely something to be wary of. And he has been hit fairly hard so far, 35% hard contact rate. So despite his good numbers to this point, not going to start him at home. Seems like playing with fire. But moving on to a hitter, we have Andrew Benintendi here, 236 plate appearances so far this year. And I was sure to write down his runs and RBI, too, because this is all very symmetrical. He's got 8 homers and 8 steals, 31 runs and 31 RBI, which I just love. And he's hitting 273, 345, 429. And I think we're on Van, right, to start this one off?
Indeed, and I'm going to give him a legit. I like Benintendi. He's doing exactly what I said he would do if he were to succeed, but with a little more power. I expected the stolen bases to be solid. I expected to have, I don't know, 10 to 15 home run power if he played a full season. I think he beats that now. And, I mean, really, if you look at that triple slash line, like you said, 273, 345, 429, that's about what I would expect. So, I don't know. I like him. I think for the price you paid, hopefully you didn't pay a whole lot and you're getting some good returns on it. And I think he can continue doing this, particularly hitting in a good spot and a good lineup.
Yeah, I'm legit too. If you look at when you drafted him, what you expected to get, I think like Vance said, I think he's doing right what you expect to do in a yearly league. Now in Dynasty, you have to love what the ceiling is, but I think he's doing exactly where he should be doing, exactly what he should be doing. I like the K rate as well, because I was afraid one of the things with him, I was afraid that the K rate might be a little high in his first season, but it's at 14.4, which isn't great, but isn't terrible. It's kind of middle of the road. I'd like to see the walk rate go up a little bit, but 9.3 still for a rookie is pretty decent. So I'm going to definitely say legit. I like what he's doing. And like I said, you know, for him being, you know, probably – you know, in a three outfield league, if he's your third outfielder, I think that's pretty solid numbers, especially from where you got him. But you know, as long as you're expecting him to have that, you know, that little bit of a hiccup here and there as far as his first full season, you got to be happy with what you're getting.
He can just hold his breath and cure the hiccups because he is studly and he could do that. I'm totally legit on him as well too. He's been a very happy accident for me in the slightly less prestigious Fart League, which is AL only. And there's a Red Sox homer that was drafting with us, and this is an auction draft. And I was just bidding him up because I knew he was a huge homer. And I got stuck with Benintendi. I'm like, ah, crap. But he, like I said, it's been a happy accident. He's worked out very well. And like you guys said, striking out at a very reasonable clip, 14%, making plenty of contact. And, you know, Fantastics, they put out their rest of season rankings, and they were extremely bullish on the Benintendi moving forward. It actually, that's what made me look into him a little bit more, and they projected him for quite a bit of power, and the numbers say that that's right. Like, he could hit well over 20 home runs, maybe 25. He's 35% hard contact rate. The only thing is, he doesn't pull the ball a lot, only 34% pull rate, but he does put a lot of balls in the air and plays in a lot of hitters' parks. And obviously with that nice Red Sox lineup, there's nothing not to like here.
I gotta say though, I don't know how many times I've ever heard the words "happy accident" and "fart" in the same sentence. So that's something.
You heard it here first, folks.
Nowhere else.
Hey, I'm a gambler.
What I'll say too is his BABIP is actually, I mean, it's not absurdly low. It's at 286, but I think that can improve. I mean, his career average, and for what it's worth, is 312. So yeah, if that goes up, then his actual batting average goes up, and that increases stats across the board. So there's another level to him. I don't necessarily think he hits it this year. I think he's going to be elite in his career. But if he does, it wouldn't surprise me.
Abso-freaking-lutely. I can't remember if it was Fantastics or Big Guy that I wrote him up in the preseason. I said he's got – or maybe it was just a mock draft, I think. I was just chatting with people now that I think about it because I don't remember actually writing about his profile in the preseason. But I did say he's got a chance to go 20-20, 100-100. And he's still got a ways to go to do that. But, man, he's going to approach that, I think.
I had a little bit of a tiff with a friend of mine that – but not really a tiff. But anyway, he was drafting Bregman obscenely early in every league, and I kept saying, why is Bregman being valued so high and Benintendi really isn't? I know Bregman has a little more power and is maybe a little flashier, but of the two players, I really thought Benintendi was being drafted far lower than it should than he should be. And so far, I mean, Bregman's been fine, but Benintendi's been better.
I don't even know if I'd say he's been fine. He started off really crappy out the gate, Bregman did, and I don't think anybody was... Yeah, he's definitely got better. The power has come around a little bit, but I don't think anybody was as big of a detractor of his as I was this season. He made my don'ts list for the third base.
He knows that too. Like he realized he was on the don'ts list. It affected his mentality, and that's why he struggled.
It gets in the players' heads, man. Like I got to write this stuff. You know, I'm sorry to the players. I hate to hurt your feelings that way and get in your head, but. It turns out he's actually related to somebody in the fantasy industry. I can't remember who, but he's like a direct cousin of one of the stalwarts in the fantasy baseball industry.
John Bregman, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
I looked up his numbers, by the way. Yeah, he has not been good. I assumed based on this past couple of weeks that he'd really bumped up his numbers, but no, Bregman has been pretty bad. 247, 311, 399, six homers, four steals. So I'm definitely winning that debate as far as Benintendi versus Bregman. Yeah.
Well, and I remember, too, when I put out that article on Big Eye, and the very next day was when A.J. Hinch said, by the way, we're going to bet Alex Bregman second. And I'm like, oh, crap. Like, after I just crapped all over him and said he's going to hit fifth all year. And, yeah, that didn't really happen. Anyway, he's been hitting seventh, eighth, ninth pretty much all year. So, long season. He could still prove me wrong, but as of so far, not so much. And, but let's turn the page to somebody I was very wrong on, and that's Kyle Schwarber. Loved him coming into the year, but through his first 218 plate appearances, 9 bombs, that's okay, but he's slashing just 162, 289, 346. Is there a light at the end of the tunnel for Kyle Schwarber on?
I'm not. If there is, I'm not seeing it. If you have him, quit him, trade him if you can. Try to capitalize on the name, especially nearly. He's sitting against lefties recently. He's got, if you look at his last 10 games, he has 2 hits. Both home runs. So I guess when he does hit the ball, he makes it count. But he hasn't had a hit that's not been a home run since May 17th, which to me is a pretty decent amount of time since we're on June 7th here. I don't like the 30% K rate. I think you know you're getting that anyway. The walk rate, surprisingly, is at 13.8, which is pretty decent considering the all-around terrible season that he's having. But I don't know if you're going to be able to get much for him, but especially in a yearly, I'm a little more apt to be a fan of his in Dynasty because I don't know if this is going to be the norm for him. I don't think so. But if you can trade him in a yearly league, get rid of him. But if you can't, I mean, you got to see what else is out there depending on how deep your league is. You might not be able to get anything better if it's a deeper league, but I'm not a fan in yearly especially.
And you can really see with Kyle Schwarber how evil I am to the core because I am definitely just relishing his struggling right now. Because last year going into the season, people were rating him insanely high. They were thinking he's going to hit 40 home runs. Everything was going to be amazing. And everything I said then applies now. He cannot hit same-handed pitching. He's really bad at it. So if he struggles a little bit against right-handers, everything gets wiped out. And we can see exactly what's happening. Yeah, he's walking at nearly 14% of the clip. But when you're hitting 162, that means you still have a sub 300 OBP, which is awful. He has power, but he's not hitting the ball. And that's I just don't have any interest in him. So I will definitely go quit with Schwarber. I think you're right. There's probably a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel because he's too patient and he's too okay of a hitter for him to hit 162 for his career. But again, if he hits 220, 230, you'll get value, but it's never going to be – he's never going to hit 260 and give you immense value, and particularly with losing catching eligibility because he's just awful behind the plate. He's an outfielder, and because of that, makes it even less interest for me to have in this guy.
Well, real quick, one of the more interesting comparisons in the preseason that I heard, and I thought this was really on point. I got to give credit to our guy Ray Flowers, who said that he really looked at Kyle Schwarber is kind of another Jay Bruce as far as what he might do this season. And I thought that was kind of an interesting comparison.
Jay Bruce has been awesome, though.
Right, yeah. So that kind of tells you right there how awful Schwarber has been. But, yeah, Bruce has been a nice pick.
I've long been, I think, the only person on Earth who actually likes Jay Bruce. I don't think I've ever heard anybody else talk well of him. He made my dudes list like 2 years ago, I think. I always liked him. Anyway, yeah, Schwarber. You know, Dynasty, I'm definitely buying low on him, even though, yeah, he'll never see catcher eligibility again. I was kind of I drafted him in the BGFS Keeper League. And, you know, it was an OBP league, and so that's why I was interested in him. And also, you only have to play 5 games at a position to qualify there in season. So I thought, well, hell, maybe he catches a couple games and I get to use him at catcher. And that's not going to happen. But for what it's worth, his contact is actually way up. It's weird seeing a 30% strikeout rate, which is, you know, higher than ever before. You know, 40%, I guess, small sample last year. But swinging strike rate is actually down to the lowest of its career, 11%. That's not actually that bad for a slugger. A contact rate is 74%. I mean, you see guys that swing for the fences that have worse numbers than that. And still being patient, like you guys said, he's still walking a lot. And contact rate, hard contact rate, 35%. That's not that bad either. And he's pulling the crap out of the ball, hitting it in the air all the time. You'd think he'd have more home runs than 9 so far. I think he deserves, you know, closer to 11, 12 at this point. He's been cheated a little bit if you just look at that. But he's, I don't know if it's going to require like a little bit of a swing adjustment, because he's really just, he's hitting too many fly balls. He's 45% fly ball rate, and he's got a 17% pop-up rate too. And that is just way too high, and that's going to go a long ways towards killing your bat. But when you have a pop-up rate like that and you're just hitting fly balls all over the place, that is what's going to give you a 191 BABIP. And I think he needs to work on that a little bit, and I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily rule out him being demoted, actually, to the minors at some point as they try to fix that. But if I can get him for pennies and just stash him on my bench, I think I'm even buying low on him in a redraft league. So maybe I'm crazy because I haven't heard anybody else be optimistic on him in the very least, but I'm still not selling on Schwarber, man. He was such a good college hitter, and he's done nothing but hit since he got up. So I think that he will right the ship at some point.
I think his big benefit, of course, is power, right? Well, what is there an insane abundance of this day and age? Power. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm just not that interested in it for that reason. Maybe if this were, I don't know, several years ago where, you know, the home run leader was at 32 or whatever it was a handful of years ago, sure, then I'd be more interested. But now everybody hits 40 home runs, so I don't know. I'll just stay away.
Yeah, and it is disconcerting that he is sitting against lefties now, which is sort of funny if you look at his splits. Like, his splits are negligible, lefties against righties, because he's been so crap against righties. So I wonder if they, you know, try to give him some more exposure to lefties in the future again. And yeah, if you're in a standard batting average league, I don't necessarily, I think about OBP leagues a lot because that's predominantly what I play in. So if it's an OBP league, I should say that I will be buying low on him. But if it's a standard batting average league, yeah, maybe not so much.
Sure.
Moving on to Jeff Samardzija, who has just been crazy lately. On the season, he's got in 79 and two-thirds innings pitched. He's just 2-7, which is, you know, hashtag kill the win, just stupid. But 4.29 ERA, so not great. However, since May, since the calendar flipped to May, 48 and a third inning pitch, 2.98 ERA, 59 strikeouts and one walk. One walk in 48 and a third innings. Good Lord, what the hell is going on with Jeff Samardzija, man?
Yeah, I don't know. This is an interesting case. His ERA is sitting at 4.29 this season, but FIP and XFIP have him at 2.90 and 2.73. The strikeouts are up. As you're saying, the control's good because he's not really walking anyone. It's just bizarre. I think he's certainly better than his ERA indicates, and certainly better than his win-loss record indicates. But I also don't know how much I trust him. I mean, we have a pretty lengthy record of him being solid to slightly above average here and there. I don't think he's this bad, but I also don't think he's a right at 3 ERA guy, maybe 3.5, 3.8 like he was last year. So there's some value to be had here, but I don't know. Again, it's such a weird case of a pitcher that even if the strikeouts regress and the walks come back up, he's still going to have a little bit of value just because he's been really good in those regards.
Yeah, Nate kind of pointed out a lot of the things I had kind of earmarked for him, but he is kind of a strange case as far as, because he's always been a decent strikeout pitcher, and you know you're going to get that from him. But the 2-7 record, that if you have a Roto League, especially with the wins column, forget getting any help from him there. He has shaved about 2 runs off his ERA in his last 10 starts. You alluded to that 59-1 K to walk ratio in his last 7, which is just insane. And he's a guy that I got in the auction keeper league where I lost Mike Trout. I got him for $1, and with him, Robbie Ray, Jeff Samardzija, Max Scherzer, they're kind of keeping my team afloat right now.
Jesus.
Bumping my pitching up a little bit. So I'm a fan. It's just kind of like with all these guys that we've talked about, you have to know what you're getting, you know. And like we said with Benintendi, if you're expecting, you know, what he's doing right now in a yearly league, especially, Marge is the same way. You have to know what you're going to get. You have to know you're going to get some Ks, but you also have to understand that the ERA is probably going to be in the high 3s to 4 when the season's over anyway. So I'm legit on him because I like the strikeouts. I don't know if he can keep up this insane ratio. Obviously not, but like I said, I have him in a league. I'm going to ride it while it lasts.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would be hanging on to him. He's legit for me. If you look at there is a bit of a correlation in his pitch usage from April to May. And basically what he throws now is just 4-seam, sinker, curveball, slider. He is really up to slider usage, and he's dropped his splitter quite a bit, and that's led to a great deal of success. We see, like you guys said, all the strikeouts, and he's always had really good control and command, and this year it's been just impeccable, like you said, especially since May. 59 Ks on walk, good lord. And the home run per fly ball rate is still inflated, 14.9% home run per fly ball. And pitching in San Francisco, you're supposed to get a benefit on that. You know, it should be closer to 10, which is where he's been for a couple seasons before that. So, yeah, I'm buying the Samardzija. He always gives you the innings, so I'm definitely legit on him. It's too bad I don't own him anywhere. I just traded him in the preseason from my dynasty team. Blah. But our last guy before we take a break here is going to be Dansby Swanson. 221 plate appearances so far this year, 5 homers, 1 steal. Hitting just 194, 276, 301. So, Ron, take us away with the Dansby Swanson.
I'm way more legit in Dynasty than I am yearly leagues. I was never really under the impression he was going to be a big power guy anyway. I think he's going to be a solid major league player. I almost wonder sometimes if he's going to be one of those guys like we talked about last week that's going to be a better real-life player than he is in fantasy. He's still, I think, going to be a pretty serviceable fantasy shortstop. But when you look at a lot of his stats, you can kind of see where his problems are. Isolated power is really low at 107. Last year, when he was up in that small sample size that really built the hype up for last year, the BABIP was 383. It's down to 239 this year. And so he's just not getting meaningful contact on the ball. The K rate's too high, and so in the yearly format, kind of like I am with Schwarber, I'm going to quit. But if you have him in Dynasty, I have him in a couple Dynasties, I'm definitely not ready to cut bait with him there yet, because I think he is going to be one of the more serviceable young shortstops. But it's just kind of, you have to temper your expectations and understand what you're going to get. You're not going to get, if you get 20 homers from him in a season, I think that's going to kind of be a gift for what you're going to have later on with Dansby Swanson.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Quit this year, legit for his career. And that rhymed. I like him as a player, and Nate knows this because we discussed it, of course, during the offseason when we did positional rankings. I really do like him. I think I like him more than the consensus just because he has a really well-rounded game, and I don't think he excels in any one area, as in he doesn't hit a lot of home runs, he doesn't steal a lot of bases, but he's just solid everywhere. He's got a 10% walk rate. It's a little bit up on what he did last year, and a little bit up in the minors, as opposed to, well, except for his, you know, high A, whatever, they don't really pay attention to. And the BABIP is pretty low at 239. So maybe there's some improvement to be had this year, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they went ahead and sent him down for a couple weeks just to work on some stuff. I don't think you're going to get enough value to worry about him this year, but in a dynasty league and in the prestigious dynasty league, I'm trying to buy him if I can.
And, you know, I've sort of lumped him in with Andrew Benintendi as far as sort of hitting styles go, whether that's right or wrong, but Benintendi, where he has really been impressive so far this year, like the contact from Swanson has just really been lacking. 11.4% swing strike rate, I mean, that's what Kyle Schwarber has, and a 74% contractor. Like, that's, again, that's like Kyle Schwarber, like we were just talking about, except he's not giving you much of any power at all, and he's not stealing bases either. Just one steal attempt on the season. That's not going to do you any good. I mean, even in a 15-team mixed league, you're looking at a guy who's, even if he hits for a higher batting average, he's injury filler, basically. So probably an NL-only option at this point. And other than that, I agree with you guys. As far as long-term, I'm still in. But, yeah, this year he's just got too much work to do, I think, to be any kind of an impact player in redraft formats. But with that, we're going to take a break, and we shall be back with some sell highs and buy lows.
I need to take a legit pee break, so I'll be right back.
Okay.
Do you want every word of baseball analysis from Big Guy Fantasy Sports sent directly to your inbox each and every day? In that case, head on over to BigGuyFantasySports.com, find the box that says BGFS Daily Fantasy Blast, type in your name and email address, then click subscribe. It's that simple. Don't fall behind your competition on waiver wire trends, prospect scouting reports, streaming options, or even DFS picks to click. Subscribe to the BigGuyFantasySports.com newsletter today.
You're listening to the BGFS Network, where we keep fantasy real.
All right, boys, we're going to play a little game now called Sell High and Buy Low Hitters Sorted by BABIP. What a clever name. I came up with that myself.
So clever. Oh, man.
I put a lot of thought into that. So we're going to start off with some potential buy low guys who have just stupid low BABIPs. And we're going to start off with Todd Frazier. It seems like he gets this treatment every year with the low BABIPs, but... at least as of the time that I wrote this down, he had a BABIP of 205 and 197 plate appearances, 9 homers and 3 steals, and slashing just 196, 305, 411. So, Van, what say you? Are you buying low on Todd Frazier?
Well, first and foremost, despite your very descriptive, very accurate title, I completely didn't read all of it. I think I got bored after 3 or 4 words because I started seeing all these numbers and I went, what is this guy doing? He doesn't even know. These averages are way off. I don't know what the deal is. And then much later, I realized it was BABIP. But anyway, he started to hit a little more lately.
Those damn millennials with your attention spans, I swear.
Well, it's because of the cell phones and the avocado toast and all that stuff.
You can't pry yourself away from Farmville for 5 seconds to read 7 words. Get off my lawn.
Some Facebook Farmville requests. That's my goal now.
I assume that's still a thing.
I don't know. I never did it. So anyway, he has been a batting average liability for a bit, and I think he's going to continue to be. But he's going to provide power, and he's walking 13% of the time. So I think there's a little bit of a bounce back here. But we're also kind of getting in, I don't know if I call it the twilight of his career, but he's getting older, and I never thought he was going to age all that well. So there's some value to be had. I think if I'm desperate for power and maybe I've got a team with a bunch of really high batting averages, I'll go ahead and buy in on Todd Frazier and try and buy for him in a batting average lead. And in an OBP league, he's fine because he does walk a lot. So I don't know. It just depends on your team construction. But I'm okay with him certainly improving on what he's done.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Buy low if you need some power and you can offset what he does with the average. The walk rate's not bad, 13.2. When you look at his hits, though, he's got 33 hits on a season, and 9 of them are homers and 15 of them are singles. So you're going to get either a base hit or a home run with him. But if you need the homers and you don't have to rely on him every day as a starter, I don't think it's bad. There's a lot of leagues that I'm in, I don't know about you guys, where he's a free agent right now. He's on the waiver wire, so he's a guy that you could possibly pluck there as well, depending on how deep your league is.
Oh, baby. I would like that.
That was ominous and creepy.
I'm trying to picture myself playing in a league where Todd Frazier is on the waiver wire, and it seems unfathomable to me because I just don't play in shallow leagues anymore. Man, I realize that came out really creepy. I'm not going to edit it. I could. I'm not going to. Oh, man. His numbers remind me a lot of last year, though, and I liked what he did last year because he hit 40 home runs and he stole 15 bases.
You liked that, did you?
Oh, God, I like it so much. I feel the same way about Todd Frazier as a buy-low candidate right now as your car talks to you, Van.
Okay, all right.
Pump me full of gas, Van. Change my oil. But anyway,
I'm just going to leave that
Todd Frazier on waivers.
Look at that power and walk percentage. Oh, yeah. Actually, by the way, my car sounds more like this. Fill me up with gas. That's how it talks. It talks like a robot. It's a lady robot, but a robot nonetheless.
So it ends everything with a question mark?
It does. Every single one.
Oh, man. You know who I bet plays a lot of Farmville is Buck Farmer. Makes sense, right?
That has to be like a porn star name. Buck Farmer.
That's a really dangerous name.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah, you swap those two letters and you're in a world of hurt if you're on the air.
Farmer.
Maybe next time Van's driving, we need to swap those letters and text that to him.
It will say it. It pronounces gibberish words.
Oh, it will, all right.
Oh, man. All right. So let's go to you on this one, Ron. Alex Gordon, his BABIP is just 219 so far, 203 plate appearances this year. Finally hit a home run, I think just yesterday or the day before. Stolen one base so far. Slashing 177, 291, 229. So what do you think? Is he a buy low for you?
No. He doesn't really, and I know this sounds kind of generic, but he doesn't really do anything. He's just kind of there. I think I heard today, I don't remember who was talking about it. It might have been the RotoWire guys. I was amazed that he just now hit his first home run. And I know we're not looking at 30 homers for Alex Gordon. He's not what you're – that's not what you're looking at when you draft him. But you look at his stats, he's not contributing anything. He has one steal, one home run. He has a negative war, 177 average. I don't really want anything to do with him. If you can get something for him, go for it. But I don't want any part of Alex Gordon whatsoever in any format.
I completely agree. I kind of looked into his contact numbers, and to be honest, he doesn't have a really high soft contact percentage. It's only at 18, but the hard contact has dropped to 28% of the time, and he's hitting medium contact 53% of the time. What this means in short answer is that he's just not hitting the ball all that hard as compared to what he used to. And even then, in his, I wouldn't say elite days, but in his better days, like you said, Ron, he doesn't do a whole lot. So I have no interest in it. He's older now. He's 33. And he's also had a career of injuries. So I just don't think we're going to have a long career with Alex Gordon. His once vaunted defense, which actually was only really good for one season, is okay, but not that great. There's just no reason to really worry about him. I guess he does walk a bit, but that's about it for me.
Yeah, Alex Gordon sucks. I have no interest in him anywhere. Let's talk about something more important. I typed in Farmer into FanGraphs, and there are some great names out there. Farmer Burns played in 1901. That's fantastic. There's Farmer Steelman. That is a manly name right there.
1902, Farmer Steelman. He played for 4 years, zero home runs, couple stolen bases. Yeah, I'd draft him.
Absolutely. Farmer Weaver, distant relative of Jared Weaver, perhaps.
Yep. Maybe.
Played in 1894.
Great grandfather. He's also 6'8" and throws 82.
Yep. You can see the connection there. Okay. Let's see. Van, it's on to you. We got Michael Franco, who was a guy that I've been on for a couple years now. 222 BABIP so far, though. 215 plate appearances this year, seven bombs. Hitting 213, 265, 355. You buying low on him?
Boy, I don't know. I guess if I can get really low, he's a guy that I never really was all that excited about because he didn't have elite level power. He had no steals and he didn't walk a whole lot. His whole game was predicated on the fact that he had really good bat speed. If that bat speed deteriorated at all, you weren't going to get any value. And, I mean, we're kind of seeing how that is. Sure, he has seven homers, but, again, in this day and age of home runs, that's not that much. He's striking out an okay clip, but he's just not walking that much at 6.5% walk rate. I'm not really that interested, particularly in a redraft league. In a dynasty, maybe, if I can get it for very, 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 very cheap.
Yeah, it depends on the price. He's a guy I liked in the preseason, and I still am not ready to jump ship completely yet. I, you know, like Van said, I'd like to see the walk rate a little higher, especially with all the stories I read in the preseason about him looking at ways to kind of change his approach. And I think they said last year that he would walk up to the plate and had absolutely no approach whatsoever. And it almost seems like he did a little bit better with no approach last year than he is with the supposed approach that he has this year. So the isolated power is kind of average. It's at 142. But he's got to do more as far as getting on base, and I'd like to see the OBP a little higher. So I'm going to buy low if I can, but I'm not going to give up too much just because he's a guy that I liked in preseason.
And his plate discipline numbers look super good early on in the season. And, yeah, now they've just really leveled out. Everything has backslid for him, and nothing looks really super good right now. Actually, most everything looks pretty much in line from last year. He's actually swinging at fewer pitches out of the zone, you know, so that's encouraging. But, yeah, just still a below league average walk rate. So I think he's a good hitter. I'm still, you know, I hesitate to say that I'm excited to buy low. So if it's a deeper league, if it's a 15-team league, yeah, I am going to buy low if whoever's got him is selling. And maybe he is. There's been enough corner infielders that have popped up so far this year. You know, maybe somebody's got Mark Reynolds, or picked up Justin Bour off waivers, Justin Smoke. You know, there's been a lot of guys that have popped up, so maybe you can get Franco on the cheap. I think that he could be looking at a second half that's considerably better, although he definitely gets a ding in OBP leagues. Even last year when he hit 25 home runs, just a .306 on base. Which earlier on in the season, I was pretty optimistic that he would be improving his play discipline. Definitely did not happen. So I would say a tempered buy low for me with him. So Ron, move to you on this one. Rougned Odor has also had a very tough start to the season. 229 BABIP so far, 245 plate appearances, 8 homers, 5 steals, but just a .204 batting average, .249 on base, .352 slug. What do you think? Are you buying low on the Odor?
I think I would if I needed a middle infielder, but it's kind of the same thing. I wouldn't give up a whole lot. He's a guy that I actually thought would be – I think I picked him for my divisional bust pick when we did the preseason previews for BGFS. And when you look at his numbers are very similar to Michael Franco's. So I think he – you know, from what I see, he's still on pace for 22 homers, 67 RBIs, which isn't awful at second base. I mean, it puts him, you know, there in the conversation around probably the top 10 or so. I'd like to see him walk a little bit more in the K rates at 22%. So I think I would buy low on him, but I'm not going to – he's a guy that I'm not going to rush out to get. If the deal made sense, I probably would do it. But it's also, too, I'd like to get – if I could get him as a guy that I don't have to count on every day and maybe can stash him right now, kind of like we talked with Schwarber, if I could stash him possibly and maybe use him when he starts to kind of come out of the funk a little bit, but he's very similar to Michael Franco, so I'm kind of in the same boat with him as I am Rougned Odor.
I like Odor a little bit. I definitely buy a rebound. Maybe it's not going to be the last year's prodigious numbers, but it's going to be solid. And I mean, if the fun stat is that he's actually improved his walk rate over last year by 50%. Now, that's simply because he was at 3%. Now he's at 4.5%, but nonetheless, it is an improvement. So he's still not really going to help you in that department, but I think the batting average is better. I think he could, by end of season, get it up to the 240, 250 range, and then, of course, provide some power and some steals. Though, I think, Nathan, you pointed out early in the season that they really shouldn't let him run. I don't have his numbers in front of me, but his caught stealing rate was awful.
Why are they
this year? He's 5-for-9, so yeah. I don't know. He keeps doing it, which is absurd, so you're still getting it, but eventually that's going to stop, right? It has to stop.
He's almost been caught in his career as many times as he has successfully stolen a base. Why are you still letting him steal? It does not make any sense at all. It drives me freaking nuts because you still have to factor in that as part of his value, which makes him more valuable, but he also runs into so many outs. I don't know why they haven't given him the red light yet. It's ridiculous. And I just don't like guys that don't walk. You know, I've been off of Odor pretty much his entire career, and then this preseason I just sort of threw up my hands and went, I guess he's good. He hit 33 home runs last year and stole 14 bases, so apparently I was wrong. And we're seeing now maybe I wasn't as wrong as I thought I was in the preseason. And I don't necessarily know that batting average is going to creep back up even to 240, 250, because he has just gone too extreme for me. You look at, well, 42% fly ball rate, but he is popping up 26% of the time. That's, I mean, that is a ton of free outs for the defense. And 48% pull rate, he's just pulling everything for power. And when you're hitting that many fly balls and you're popping up that much, it's just not going to happen. A .231 BABIP, I don't see that going up anytime soon. And a guy that doesn't walk either, so you're looking at a horrendous on base. The power is going to be there, and apparently the Steels are too, since they won't stop him from running. So that's annoying. So, you know, I'd just be selling low if I owned Odor. I just don't like him. But moving on to Andrew McCutcheon, and I think we're on Braun on this one. 248 BABIP for McCutcheon. Seems to be heating up a little bit of late. 235 plate appearances this year. 9 bombs, 5 steals, and a 231, 311, 413 slash line this year. Are you buying low on the Kutch?
Yeah, I probably would. I mean, he's not, when you look at him across the board, he's not killing you anywhere really except batting average. Isolated power is a 183, so that's pretty solid. But you have to kind of temper what you're going to get with him. He's definitely not the guy he was a few seasons ago. He's a guy that I kind of got off the train a little bit with around the same time as I did Justin Verlander. I think in one of my dynasty leagues before last season, I traded him for D. Gordon because I needed a second baseman and some steals, so it made a lot of sense. But if he's a guy that you're probably going to be able to get fairly cheap, because I think a lot of owners are going to be a little turned off by him as far as not producing at the level, you know, that they kind of got tricked into maybe that he could get back up to a few years ago. But you can expect 20 homers. I wouldn't expect a lot of stolen bases, but maybe 20 homers, 80 RBIs, which isn't bad. But, you know, kind of like Van alluded to, 20 homers anymore is not really, you know, a big stat, you know, a big number, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, a stat and a number anymore.
Yeah, 100 and some guys hit 20 home runs last year. So it's not really a benchmark anymore.
No, so I mean, if you can get him for a decent price, I'm in as far as that, but I wouldn't pay a whole lot for him, though.
I actually wrote last week's Holder Fold and had McCutcheon on there in depth, and I was buying him then, and I'm buying him now. The home run and stolen base numbers are there. BABIP alone says he can really increase his production because his BABIP right now is at 250. So if he gets up to close to 300, there you go. There's 20, 30 points on his batting average. And I looked at his batted ball profile, and really it's the exact same as his prime years. Clearly he's older, so maybe he's not hitting the ball as hard, but he still has value. And he's only 30, so he's really not that old. So I think there's plenty to be had there. And prior to, I believe, 2016, he had a really bad knee issue, or maybe it was during 2016 he had the knee issue. So a lot of people didn't think the stolen bases would bounce back. However, this year he's on pace for 12 to 15 stolen bases, and I think that's attainable because I think he's healthy. His defense has shown that he's a little bit healthier, so I like him. I'm definitely going to buy if I get the chance and hope that the owner is just upset that they're not getting, you know, elite-level prime McCutcheon year.
Yeah, he's not the guy that he used to be, but if you look at his power numbers last year, like you said, Van, all his batter ball distribution profile, it all looks very good, and or at least on par with where it's been for the last couple of years. 24 home runs last year. He's got 9 now. Sure, he can do 24 again. And you know, he battled through a lot of injuries last year. You look at the stolen base totals: 6 successful steals and 7 caught stealings. He was just dinged up last year, and he's 5 for 6 so far this year. So yeah, I think he can push 15 steals, and you know, 24 homers and 15 steals. It's not bad. And like you said, I think he's got a lot of positive BABIP progression to go. So definitely not the guy he used to be. But as far as a useful, you know, outfielder 3, perhaps, I think he can provide that the rest of the way. So I guess I'm in on him. But let's move over to the guys who have been hot. The hot guys. Want to talk about some hot guys?
Do I ever.
I'd like to talk about some baseball players who are performing well.
Fine. All right.
Well, proper verbiage. I'm impressed.
Yes, thank you.
Maybe you should be the one naming these segments. Ryan Zimmerman's going to be our first hot guy here. He's got a 411 BABIP so far. 222 plate appearances. Actually, today he hit his 17th home run. With a 365 batting average, 410 on base, 690 slug. And so, Van, what do you think? Is Zimmerman a sell high for you?
Do you remember before the season began when I joked it with you and I was like, so you're out on Ryan Zimmerman now? You're not still going to go for him? Because you were pushing Zimmerman for a while. And you
years.
Said, oh, I'm finally done with that. Scuff, pish posh. And then sure enough, he's been an elite level hitter.
Yeah.
Not this good. I think the power is legit because he's always had a little bit of power. So I think he can hit plenty of home runs the rest of the way. I think everything else is inflated a bit. I don't think he's going to hurt you in any regard. But we're also talking about a 33-year-old third baseman who has had a lot of injuries in his history. Maybe he's healthy now. I just don't think he holds up this level of production the rest of the year. But again, power's fine, so I think he'll be all right.
Yeah, and I know it's, you know, something we always talk about with Ryan Zimmerman, but I think the key stat for me, you don't have to dig very deep to see it, is they played 58 games as a team. He's played in 55 of them so far, and I think that tells the story right there. When you look at his stats over his career, seasons that he's played a fair amount of games, he's put up solid numbers. I think everybody knows that. I think it's kind of a common sense thing, but it's one of those things that I looked at it today. I hadn't looked at it in a while, and his numbers really are excellent for when he's played a decent amount of games. But I'm with Van. The power numbers are going to be decent, but he's got a lot of inflated numbers. The ISO's at a crazy 325. Weighted runs created plus 185, which, you know, the mean is 100, so he's 85 above that. He's already got more homers than he had all of last year. So he's, you know, that shows you he's producing more than just singles. So, you know, like in the BGFS dynasty, one of the things that actually went right for me was I picked him up off waivers, and I've been pretty happy about that. And I think a lot of people, you know, if you spent a late pick on him or you did get him on waivers, you know, you have to be overjoyed with what he's given you. So you have to just kind of, as we always say, ride that hot hand. But I like what he's doing, but I don't know if I'm going to go out and try to buy him. I think he's going to be a little bit overpriced for what, you know, the owner is going to want for him in return.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me, by the way, Van, how much I've loved him for the last couple of years. And of course, this year I finally gave up in this. The last couple of years he's maintained his hard contact rate. He's deserved better fates than what he has produced for my teams in the last couple of years when I owned him. We're talking about a 218 average last year, 249 back in 2015. And of course 365 this year with 16 home runs, 48 RBI. Not that I'm bitter, but yeah, if I have him, I'm definitely selling high because, like you guys said, I mean, the injury history is there. 115 games played last year. 2015, it was only 95. 2014, 61. You know, so this guy is as injury prone as there's been for the last couple of years, and so much so that the Nationals invested in Adam Lind just to be his direct backup, like no other role except for whenever he gets hurt, Adam Lind will play first base all the time for us. Adam Lind, who, by the way, apparently allegedly farted in the batter's box once upon a time, farted smokes. go look that up on Baseball Prospectus. Good stuff there. But, yeah, just based on his injury history and, like, a 30% home run for fly ball right now is just insane. 40% hard contact is nice, but he's definitely been playing over his head, and given his injury history, I think it's only a matter of time before he's on the disabled list with the rest of the players that I drafted this year, so I would definitely be selling high on him. But moving on to the next guy, Evasail Garcia, Ron. He has a smoking hot 396 BABIP, ow, with a in 220 plate appearances, 9 bombs, slashing 333, 373, 551. What do you think about Evasail Garcia? Good sell high?
Well, before that, Adam Lind will never make my hot guy list because of that story now, so I want to throw that out there.
Some people are into that, Ron. I'm just saying.
They could be. You never know.
Andy looks like a giant garden gnome, but
a farting garden gnome. I'm selling high on Garcia. There's no way that this stays the way it is. 217 ISO, 551 slugging. There is no way he keeps this up. The lineup around him is not very good against righties. That's what you're going to face the majority of the time. So I say you sell high on him if you can and get what you can for him, because there's no way that this is going to stay at the level it is.
Yeah, boy, this one's interesting. He is very young. He's only 25. I think he's about to turn 26. He was at one point a decent prospect. So it's kind of a bizarre one to rate. Is this a breakout? Or is this just performing way above his means? Well, he's not walking hardly at all, 4.1% walk rate. He is hitting for power, but not much else. I don't know. I think he does fall off, but I don't know. Maybe he's a serviceable major leaguer from now on, because, again, he did have a decent pedigree. So if that happens, is he worth holding on to? That's going to depend on your team, and that's going to depend on your league. I'm probably going to try and sell high here, but if you can't get exactly what you want for him, I think I'd hold on to him and be okay with that.
Yeah, see, this one's a little different. Like, I haven't heard a whole lot about Evasail Garcia so far. He's really flown under the radar despite these really nice numbers. So I don't necessarily know that you could fetch a lot for him, even in a sell high scenario. So you're probably stuck with him, which might not necessarily be a bad thing. You know, there's a little bit of interest, like you said, Ben. He's really upped his pull percentage so far this year, 49% pull percentage, and despite just 26% fly balls, that pull percentage has helped him to a 22% home run per fly ball rate, without a huge hard contact rate. So I think the power could be largely legit moving forward. A 217 ISO, yeah, maybe you could float around 200 the rest of the season. Definitely not going to sustain anywhere near a 400 BABIP, given his batted ball profile. So is he a 300 hitter? Hell no. So maybe he can hit closer to 270, 280 the rest of the way. But if you're getting pretty solid power from him, you know, you look at it, 25 home runs, and that's a decent, especially in mixed leagues, like a 15-team mixed league, that's a guy that I'm probably just hanging on to.
You know, I really expected this kind of a breakout to happen with the other Arcia, Oswaldo, the one the Twins won.
Yeah.
Because I thought both of these guys, I thought had some potential, but I really thought Oswaldo was going to do something. And
well,
I don't even know where he is now. I think he was DFA'd by the Rays or something.
He's been DFA'd by every team in baseball at this point. It wasn't just the Twins that screwed him up. Oswaldo Arcia screwed himself up quite a bit. He's a bit of a Ted Case, and I think he wasn't necessarily the most coachable guy. Big ego, big flair, and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, just didn't work out. I was tempted by him every year too, because you just watch him play, and you're like, that's a good baseball player. But no. Although I keep seeing every once in a while somebody comments on him, and apparently he's just raking in AAA. I'm like, he always rakes in AAA. Just wait till he comes back up and he's nothing again. But anyway, let's see. Ben, we're on to you on this one. Keon Broxton, 385 BABIP so far this year, over 201 plate appearances, 6 bombs, 10 steals, a 236, 308, 423 slash line. Selling high on Keon Broxton.
I am. I'm going to sell high. He has the counting stats, kind of like Andrew McCutchen, but he also doesn't have the ability of an Andrew McCutchen to hit the ball as well. He may have a 378 BABIP, but he's also hitting 238 or 236, 308, 423. I didn't like him a lot coming into the year, particularly when you're striking out 40% of the time and you're not hitting for, I don't know, if you're hitting 16 home runs like Joey Gallo is, the strikeouts are at least a little bit okay to take. But if you're only hitting 6 home runs and striking out 40% of the time, it's just not quite as easy to stomach. Sure, you're going to get some homers, some steals, etc., but he's really hurting you in almost every category. So I don't know, if you can get something for him, I'm going to trade him before ultimately I think he gets sent down. I think he can be that bad. Maybe it doesn't happen, but I could see if it did happen.
Yeah, same here, and I don't know what you're going to get for him, but if you drafted Keon Broxton to get steals, and if you have a guy that's leading the league in K rate, he's not going to be getting you the amount of steals that you're expecting. And he still could get maybe 20 to 25 if he stays up with the big club, but like Van said, it wouldn't shock me if he got sent down. But that 40% K rate, just under it, kills you. It's the worst in the league. So I'm going to sell high if I can get him, but I think it's kind of an instance of, you know, what we said with Avisel Garcia is you're probably not going to get a lot for him. So you, like, kind of like you said, Nate, you might just be stuck with him. So I'm going to try to get what I can, but I honestly don't have any shares of him in any leagues. I kind of stayed away from him anyway.
Yeah, he was one of the real hot sleepers coming into the year, and I was a bit aghast at his actual price tag, because for the risk that he posed, I mean, he was going just way too high as far, and I think we're seeing right now what the downside was. If I have this guy anywhere, which I don't, I could not sell this guy fast enough. A lot of people were raving about his May after his really crappy April. So you look at Blitz, and let's see, April, if I can pull this up here, 191 average in April, and then the calendar flipped to May and he hit 289, so he's really breaking out, right? 37% strikeout rate in May, 434 BABIP. That's the only reason he hit 289. Still not walking in May, 6.6% walk rate. I do think that he's going to be demoted. I think it's only a matter of time. There is nothing that I like here. Like I said, I'm just selling ASAP if I have him anywhere.
And I think he went for almost $20 in the listener league in the auction draft, and that's just absurd. And that happened a lot this year, I think.
Well, and
that's the reason I don't have him anywhere, is because I was amazed at the price people were paying, either whether it be in an auction or what round he was going in. I definitely was not targeting him that for that being that expensive or that high. I was waiting on him later, and so I was kind of happy to pass on him if someone else is willing to pay that price.
Well, that, you know, that was an OBP league too, or is an OBP league, I should say, the listener league. And he posted a 14% walk rate last year, but this year it's just been way worse. He's been much more, much less patient, I should say, more aggressive. His swing rate is up, and just 16.7% swing strike rate, making just 63% contact. That is horrendous. So I could, I see why people paid what they did for him, but I was happy to not pay that. So hopefully you can bank a little bit of a profit if you move him now. Let's move on to Tim Beckham. Van, are we back to you on this one?
Sure. I'll do it anyway. I think so. Yeah, Tim Beckham, he has shown a little bit of power this year. He was a big-time prospect, too, that just never really panned out. He's more of an athletic kid. He's only 27, so he still has potential. But I'm going to quit. I'm going to play Haggis isn't legit or quit. But I'm going to...
Wrong game, Van.
Babip the other way.
God, if you would ever read.
Reading is tough when I meet him.
He thought Zimmerman was hitting 411, so...
I did. I thought Zimmerman was the pitcher, to be honest.
I just need to go back and feed my cows some more grass in Farmville here and then mow down my strawberry patch or whatever.
Yep, that's me any given day.
Well, Farmer Shipley played in 1901.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Throws gas, shoots lightning bolts at his arse.
Tim Beckham.
Yeah.
Not that interested.
Better than Buster Posey.
No one's better than Buster Posey. He's so good. I'll leave it at that. But no thanks for coming back in. I don't have any more to add. I'm good with that.
Okay.
Hard hitting analysis. I've got to get back to Farmville. I don't see what you're problem is.
And that's all I got to say about that. I don't know. I have kind of a complicated answer because I want to sell high on him, even though
with all of his words about Tim Beckham, I see.
Even though I say this, you should sell high on him if you can get something for him. I actually traded for him in a dynasty league that I'm in, but it also got me – I was in – you know, it's that 19-teamer that I always talk about every week, which is kind of a crazy one to manage. And I have – I think I'm rolling with Brewers backup catcher Manny Pena at catcher right now. That's where I'm at. So I wanted to trade for a younger guy. So I got Jorge Alfaro in the deal, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. Plus, it got me rid of Danny Valencia, who's actually starting to hit the ball and had a little bit of sell high value there, so I was able to get rid of him. But Tim Beckham striking out a lot, 33.6K rate. I do like the fact that he is eligible at a lot of spots, and so that's one of the reasons I kind of I had my pick of a few players that we could throw in that deal, and that's one of the reasons I went with him. But he was that number one pick, and I think Van said it. You know, he's more of an athlete than he was a baseball player. I've actually got to meet him. He's not a real big guy, so the power that he's able to generate this year is kind of crazy when you look at him. He's only about 6 feet. I don't know if he even weighs 200 pounds. So I say sell high on him if you can. But like I said, I was able to get him a couple places, and I'm happy with that.
But is he good at Farmville?
You do realize this episode has to be titled Farmville.
That might
I think he's more of an Angry Birds guy.
Who is
Flappy Bird? What is that? That's a thing.
That game is hard as hell.
Yeah, it is. Very frustrating.
Very frustrating. I couldn't do it. What are we talking about? Tim Beckham?
Flappy Bird. That's what we're talking about.
I mean, we could do a whole episode on mobile games. Tell you what, but. Boy, I tell you what. At Farmville. Yeah, Beckham, I'm definitely selling if I can get anything for him. 15-team, you know, Dynasty League, I just flat-out cut him a while ago. He was just injury filler for me. The plate discipline is horrendous, like you guys said, 34% K rate, 5% walk rate. I do not care for guys like that, even though he does have a massive 46% hard contact rate and a 52% pull rate. So that explains the power. That is a well-deserved 23% home run per fly ball rate. But just 29% fly balls in general. So that limits it a little bit. And not stealing as much as you like. I'm just 3-for-4 in steals this year. So I think injury filler in a deep league. But if I could sell him for profit, I definitely would. So Ron, last guy here, Starlin Castro, 355 BABIP this year. Over 237 plate appearances, he has hit 9 home runs and is slashing 314, 350, 484. What do you think? You're selling high on Starlin Castro?
I think he's a guy that if I have, I'm going to hold on to him, especially if I have a corner or a middle infield spot. Because when you look at his numbers this year, they're really similar to a lot of those really good seasons that he had with the Cubs when we kind of looked at him as kind of, you know, living up to that potential he had as that top prospect. And he kind of tailed off a little bit when he went to the Yankees based upon those numbers. But he's a guy that I like having. I have him in a couple places. He's hitting, you know, hit around 300 in those better seasons with the Cubs. He's a 281 career hitter. The ISO is around 163 for his career. It's 170 this year. So he's on par with that pace that he set in some of his best career seasons. So I think he can sustain that for the whole year. That offense is a little bit better than what people thought it was going to be. There's some boppers in that lineup. And I he's a guy that I like, and he's a guy that I didn't invest a whole lot in. So I'm gonna hang on to him if I can.
I pretty much agree. I would hold on to him if I have him. However, I don't necessarily know if I'm going to trade for him. It just depends on what the cost is. If you get a reasonable rate for it, great. The weird thing about Castro is that doesn't it feel like he's like 33? Because he's only 27, so he's still really young. But I don't know. He just feels like he's been around forever. And
well, we said
old.
Tim Beckham was 27. Castro, to me, feels like he's been around way longer than Tim Beckham.
Yeah, exactly. It's just crazy. So I think there's some potential here. And I was reading a thing, I don't know where, but somebody was talking about, are there any current major leaguers who are locks for the Hall of Fame? And somebody mentioned Castro's name. And I do still think that's absurd. But the fact that he's only 27 means that he still kind of has some potential. I don't think he does it because I don't think he's ultimately all that good. But if he plays another 10 years and racks up over 3,000 hits, maybe he does. I just thought that was kind of an interesting discussion to have. So I like him. Power's pretty much legit. He can hit you 20 home runs, and he's not going to kill you in any one category. If it's an OBP league, it's not going to be as good as a batting average league, but it's not going to be terrible for a middle infielder.
Yeah, I think he pretty much is what he is at this point. The hot start is nice for those that owned him, but there's literally nothing that has changed in his batter ball profile that would indicate a 355 BABIP is sustainable. So I think come season's end, he'll look pretty much like he did last year, maybe with even fewer than four stolen bases, though, because he hasn't even attempted one so far. But if you guys want a little insight into my mind, when I was typing Starlin Castro just now, I accidentally typed Cats Row, which that led me to thinking of like a ship full of cats that are just rowing. And so I think now I need
to. When you said that, I thought of like death row for cats.
I thought of like Skid Row, like in the like the gutters where there's hobos and everything, except it's all just cats sitting around.
I'm thinking like Viking hats on these cats, and they're rowing a boat, and it's like storming. And yeah, so Starboard Cats Row is then what came to my mind instead of Starlin Castro. So I think that might be a team name of mine sometime in the future.
So there you have it, the three personalities of the Nasty Cast coming up with different cat pun ideas.
I think that could be the sequel to Scout Pig, actually, Cats Row.
Cats Row, yeah. Maybe Scout Pig ends up on Cats Row because he's traveling overseas to become like a soccer scout or something. Who knows?
Oh, man.
He gets a ride overseas from the Cats Row boat.
See?
Oh, man. We need to keep writing this stuff down. So I've run us a little bit long here. So the prospects and the streamers, we're going to kind of try to fly through this pretty quick. So the short version, Ron, Dustin Fowler and Sean Newcomb.
Yeah, Dustin Fowler, I like the view in the future of the Yankees outfield when you can maybe potentially have Judge, Clint Frazier, and Dustin Fowler out there. A lot of his game profile is very similar to Brett Gardner and Jacoby Ellsbury, and I think a lot of his playing time at the major league level is going to depend on the health of those guys. But he's having a nice season. I'd like to see the strikeouts a little bit less. Athletic kid. He can chase down the ball. He needs to improve a little bit defensively. He needs to improve his arm a little bit. He needs to improve his stolen base technique a little bit. He's got a line that reads at 301, 338, 560. 9 homers, 28 RBIs. He does have 7 steals. Projects as a guy that could be a 2020 guy, and he's a little bit further down on the Yankees prospect list. And I profiled him before Clint Frazier because I think he's a little bit more ready. I don't know when we're going to see him as far as called up with Fowler, but I think it's going to be before they give Frazier the call, even though they're both the same age. And then the second guy that I looked at real quickly, actually he happens to be, from what I can see, starting on Saturday for Atlanta, and that's Sean Newcomb. I even gave Van a little bit of a shout-out in this article because he was a guy that was sent to Atlanta in the Andrelton Simmons deal. Lefty, pounds of zone, throws strikes, 412 Ks and 348 innings in the minors in four seasons. His ERA is nice. The whip's kind of high, so the control needs to get a little bit better. Off to a nice start this year. He's got a whopping 74 Ks and 57 and two-thirds innings pitched. 33 walks, so it's pretty much what he's doing this year is kind of on par with what he's going to do. But like I said, it looks like we're going to get a pretty close look at him on Saturday because I think it looks like Atlanta has a doubleheader. So it looks like he's going to be the guy that's going to start the early game in that one over guys like Max Fried, Lucas Sims, and Matt Whistler. So it'll be kind of interesting to see what we get with him.
Indeed, yeah, we're going to see him pretty soon, I think. And I'll go over my two guys. Bo Bichette, the first guy, he is a quick riser, hitting 382, 455, 618 down on the farm so far. Six bombs, 20 doubles, and seven steals in 211 plate appearances down at single A. Last year, he was the 66th overall pick by the Jays, and he's 19, right-handed hitter. Seeing time at shortstop and second base, they still say that they see him at shortstop long term, but you know, who knows about that. But not a big guy, 5'11", 190. He is the son of Dante Bichette, in case you were wondering. Plus bat speed, plus raw power, just a big leg kick, aggressive approach, aggressive swing. But even with that, he's still walking 10% of the time and striking out just 18%, so I think he will be promoted pretty shortly. And speaking of promotions, Walker Buehler.
His name sounds like a Star Wars character as well.
No, I was just going to say, but every time Nate says it, I'm like, Boba Fett, what? Oh, and real quick, A-side two. When I record the Backup Catcher podcast, my other podcast with my friend Brian, and we do a sound test, we do the same sound test every time, which for whatever reason is Dante Bichette Jr. is the son of Dante Bichette. For whatever reason, we say that just to make sure the sound levels are good. So anytime I hear Bichette, that's what I think of.
We used to just mispronounce the word cantaloupe and say cantaloupe as our sound check, inexplicably. Anyway, Buehler, Walker Buehler, recently promoted from high A to double A, and he's a right-hand starting pitcher with the Dodgers. Drafted 24th overall back in 2015. He's 6'2", 175. So far in 2017, like I said, across the two levels, he's pitched 38 innings so far this year. Struck out 50 batters and walked just 12. But he has really been babied along this year as far as his pitch counts go and his workload. So he's not going to pile up a ton of innings this year or next year. They're really handling him with kid gloves, kind of like Julio Urias. But at almost 23 years old right now, he's getting very, very close to the big leagues. And there's been a few rumblings that he might get called up the second half at some point. But just really great stuff. Fastball sits 95 to 99. Double plus curveball, hard slider in the upper 80s. So if he somehow is unowned in your leagues, definitely go pick him up. So with that, we're going to close out the show, as always, with some weekend streaming options. So, Van, kick us off.
I have a couple of names for you, and guess what I'm not doing? And that's saying R.A. Dickey. I'm done with that.
Oh.
No, this week, you know what I am going to repeat, though, and that is, of course, twin starter Kyle Gibson against the lowly Giants. Hey, he was solid against Troutless Angels, yep. And I think he'll be solid against the Giants. It's not going to be great, but this is deep sleepers for you. And on that note, I also have Eddie Butler against the Rockies. So he's at home. It's not quite in Colorado, though Chicago's nothing to scoff at. He's been solid, and I think maybe you can squeeze a decent start out of him here. Again, deep, deep, deep sleepers here. I'm not giving you the easy names. Hard-hitting stuff. And then finally, on Sunday, I have the philosopher himself, Jeff Locke, facing off against the lowly-hitting Pirates.
The philosopher?
John Locke was the philosopher.
Okay.
He wrote the Federalist Papers, blah, 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 history. But anyway, every time I see Jeff Locke, I think of that.
I
call him the philosopher.
Yeah, okay, I wasn't bright enough to get that joke. Please forgive me.
See, I'm a history teacher, and I don't even think of that when I see Jeff Locke. So,
well, I'm the only idiot that does.
All right, so this week I was able to find a guy that I liked each day, so I'll go through these real quick. Friday for the Red Sox, Brian Johnson getting called up, starting in place of Eduardo Rodriguez, which I traded for in a league a few days ago, traded Zach Cozart for him, so that's worked out extremely well for me. From what I see, he's going to be out for a while, so Johnson could be a guy, if he performs well, he could be more than just a streamer. But the Detroit's hitting 247 against lefties. And in Johnson starts this year, he's only got 4 earned runs in 14 innings. He's only 2% owned, so he'll be out there on your waiver wire. Saturday, I'm going to probably throw a DFS lineup out there with Newcomb in it just to see. The Mets are hitting 231 against lefties. He's going to be low, not owned in most leagues. He's probably going to be around 1 or 2%. But we kind of looked at the profile earlier, or if you want to read a little bit deeper, he's the guy I wrote about in on-deck circle this week, so you can check that out. I didn't think I'd say this, but I like Josh Tomlin a little bit against the White Sox. They're 239 against righties. He's only 13% owned. And then Sunday against my Rays, Jesse Hahn is getting the call. He's got a 2.84 ERA on the road. And that whole series should be full of strikeouts because the Rays are over 600 strikeouts already. They're first in the league. Oakland is sixth in Ks. So especially that day, Sunday, because Chris Archer is going to be opposing him, you should see a lot of Ks on both sides. But Hahn is only 10% owned, and he's a nice streaming option to get some Ks for you in a league if you need it, or in daily if you need it there as well.
10% owned?
Yeah.
Jeez, that's absurd. He's been really good this year.
Yeah, that's Yahoo. That's always my go-to. But yeah, he's 10% owned.
Yeah, wow. Okay. I was just looking up, Dan Straley was my first guy, but I guess he's 82% owned in CBS, so probably can't stream him too much. But he does pitch at Pittsburgh Saturday, so I wouldn't mind that. And then Jeff Hoffman, if you can still pick him up. Cubs, at the Cubs on Saturday, not the best matchup, but given what he's been doing, like, you know, we already established that we feel pretty good studying him on the road. And then Hyunjin Ryu has weirdly been better, so at home against the Reds, I like that. And then, basically, streaming anybody against the A's, and so the Eraser Erasmo Ramirez, willing to give him a go, and then Matt Andrews as well against the A's this weekend. So, with that, let's see, what do we got going on this week, guys? Ron?
Saturday, you can catch me at Fantastic. Well, Sunday, I guess you can catch me at Fantastics looking over what happened Saturday, and then I'll have a few DFS plays. Hopefully, I do as well as I did last week. That's probably my best ever as far as doing DFS.
That always feels good when you nail them.
Yeah, it actually won me $3.50, so I was pretty stoked about that. And then you can check out On Deck Circle always at Big Guy Fantasy Sports, which, by the way, I want to give a shout-out real quick, too. We added Van, but we also added Mike Neese to our roster as well, which is an awesome ad for us as far as over at Big Guy.
Yeah, on the football side.
Yeah, so I want to give him a shout-out as well. But you can catch me at the Romade on Twitter, so that's where I'm at.
Very nice. You can find me at Manly Van Lee on Twitter. I'm actually winning $50 on DraftKings right now. Ooh. So hooray for my DFS lineup. So that worked out pretty well. I don't have a whole lot going on as far as writing. You'll see my holder fold coming up soon on BGFS. And I actually have to go bowling this weekend because we have a thing called Dream Team. And everybody bailed on it, so I have to do it to make sure we have a full team. So I'm not at all looking forward to that. That is not going to be a whole lot of fun, but we'll get it done. But I did want to bring up one last thing, and that's that I just saw something on Facebook that someone posted about a Wikipedia page for the St. Louis Cardinals. This is phenomenal. It's listing basically all the details about the Cardinals front office, and it says under owners, Scooter Gennett.
Well played.
That's so good. Yeah, exactly.
I do like when they fiddle with the Wikipedia like that. That was pretty good. Yeah, we didn't even talk about him. Dude hit 4 home runs and drove in 10, and we didn't even mention him until just now. That's probably
my fault.
Are you
guys mad about that? I'm upset by it. I don't like the fact that Scooter Gennett is a guy that's done that.
I kind of like stuff like that that just shouldn't happen is kind of what endears me to baseball a little bit, to be honest. Like, this guy was just cut by the Brewers in the preseason and picked up by the Reds, and he's like a part-time second baseman who's just a tiny guy who never hits for power, and yeah, 4 bombs in one game.
And I just looked up his ownership percentage, and it's gone up 8% in the last week, and I wonder how much of that was in the last 24 hours.
All of it.
And how quickly it's going to go down.
He was 0-19 before that game. So he wasn't exactly on a hot streak either. He just turned it around in a hurry. But anyway, yeah, you can catch me at Fantastics as always. I will be on the SiriusXM show this Sunday morning. And, of course, writing the Fire and Ice articles for Big Guy Fantasy Sports. That'll be out Friday or Saturday. And speaking of songs, writings and songs of ice and fire, Don't forget to get your questions in for the Game of Thrones episodes if you want us to debate some talking points. And, of course, as always, leave us a friendly rating review if you like the show. So, with that, until next week, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.